Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Jennifer McCoy, who's the director of the Carter Center's Americas Program and a political science professor at Georgia State University. Previously, she directed the Carter Center's Project on Mediation and Monitoring in Venezuela from 2002 to 2004 and has directed election monitoring projects for the Carter Center in Nicaragua, Panama, Mexico, Venezuela, Jamaica, and Peru. She spent time in Venezuela, Nicaragua, and Uruguay as a Fulbright Fellow and has also edited and contributed to several books on the topic of Venezuelan democracy, most recently, The Unraveling of Representative Democracy in Venezuela. Welcome to Background Briefing, Jennifer McCoy.
Thank you very much. I'm pleased to be here.
And Vice President Nicolas Maduro today broke the news that the President Chavez would not be attending his own inauguration on Thursday. He's broke the news in a letter to the President of the National Assembly, Diosdado Sabello. And what's interesting about this situation is that, in a way, the demise of Hugo Chavez is pitting Sabello, who is an old friend, against his anointed successor, Vice President Nicolas Maduro, because under the Constitution, Sabello would be the interim president until things were decided. And yet, at the same time, Chavez has picked Nicolas Maduro as the man to as his chosen successor. So, do you see? Even with the opposition being upset with the situation and feeling that the Constitution is being violated, within the Chavistas themselves, it looks like we're heading to a showdown.
Well, that is certainly one thesis. I'm not sure that that's the case, though. And it is confusing for several reasons. One is because, for people outside to understand, Venezuela's vice president is not elected. It's an appointed position. And that's why the opposition argue that when this current term ends and President Chavez did appoint Nicolas Maduro to be his vice president, that the vice president's term would also end tomorrow. But the other issue is that the Constitution itself doesn't specify all of the scenarios, including one of a re-elected president being sick on his inauguration. And so it specifies what happens if there's a temporary absence of the president because he's sick, or a permanent absence of a president if he becomes so incapacitated he can't govern anymore. But now we're talking about a re-elected president unable to appear for his inauguration. And that is part of the issue of what's going on. I'm not convinced it's a competition between these two parts of the Chavista movement, these two men who sort of lead different factions. So that could be one part of it. I think it might be more. Another thesis is that it's simply there's so much public support for the president as president, that he's the elected president and public opinion is strongly behind him, and that people don't want to see him removed, even in a temporary way, from his post if he still has the chance to recover. Of course, the big question is we don't know exactly what the prognosis is because they haven't told us. And so that's a great uncertainty for Venezuela.
Well, isn't that something that bothers a lot of Venezuelans I've spoken with? They sort of resent the idea that Cuba plays such a prominent role. Chavez is the president of Venezuela, after all. There's been so much secrecy from day one about his illness. And some sources that I've spoken to are suggesting that he simply is on his deathbed, and that's why he can't come to the inauguration. So what's your sense then let's go with that scenario then, if he simply cannot show up and will not show up?
Hugo Chavez has been such a larger-than-life figure in Venezuela for 14 years and has personalized not only the presidency but the nation in his own person, and concentrated power also in his own hands, so that he's been heavily involved in decision-making at all different levels. So it's another explanation may be that it's difficult for his aides and members of his government to take the decision to decide that he's unable to govern without having a very clear answer from that physically or from his own lips that he wants to resign. So possibly, that may be what's going on, if he's unable to communicate at the moment, but maybe able to in the future, that kind of thing. Again, this is just speculation because we don't really know. As you said, he's getting treatment in Cuba, and there's not a lot of information coming out other than the official pronouncements that he's in a delicate condition, but, can still recover. So tomorrow there will be, not an inauguration, but apparently some rallies of support for the president. And so far, it looks like the government will simply continue with President Chavez as president in absentia, and the current vice president as vice president, and the current head of the National Assembly in that position. That, of course, is what the opposition is contesting. They've asked the Supreme Court to rule on whether that can continue in this way or whether that's an official vacuum of power. Today, the Supreme Court answered one of the petitions to it, saying that they will not order the president of the National Assembly to take over in an absence of President Chavez. There are two other petitions waiting for an answer, so we may get another answer tomorrow or in the future from the Supreme Court. But thus far, the Supreme Court is not acting to challenge the government's position that President Chavez is still president and continues through this re-election and will be inaugurated at the point that he's able to.
Again, I'm speaking with Jennifer McCaw, who's the director of the Carter Center's Americas Program and a political science professor at Georgia State University. She's been an election monitor in Venezuela from 2002 to 2004, and is the author of The Unraveling of Representative Democracy in Venezuela. It's a little confusing, obviously, it must be more so in Venezuela itself. But the Constitution is pretty clear, is it not, that Vice President Nicolas Maduro will have to run if Chavez is unable to serve his term for which he's just been, a six-year term for which he's just been elected.
That's exactly right. And that's the issue with the vice president not being an elected position. Then the Constitution says that if the president is unable to continue in office because he dies or is incapacitated, there should be elections within 30 days and elect a new president that would fulfill that term. So that would be the rest of the six-year term. President Chavez, before he went to Cuba in December for this most recent surgery and illness, actually endorsed Nicolas Maduro to be his successor and asked the people to vote for him should they need to call new elections. That was the first time he had done that and indicated that he might not be able to continue. And so some people view that as his way of preparing Venezuelans for the possibility that he couldn't come back. But Nicolas Maduro certainly has, with that endorsement, then that gives him, that advantage in any election that might be coming. For the supporters of Chavez, who would say, we want to follow, that endorsement, it gives him a big boost in any future election.
But if Chavez were to die, Cabello would hold the post of interim president, right? before the new elections, which will be called within 30 days?
Well, this is where it does get confusing because of the timing of this. If the Supreme Court upholds the government's current position, Nicolas Maduro, the vice president, would continue in office. And nothing would happen unless President Chavez were to die. If that were to happen, then yes, the president of the National Assembly, Cabello, would take over and there would be elections. Or the Supreme Court could say, if they were continuing the idea that this period was simply continuing, then the vice president would take over. This is really it's difficult to explain the situation, because in a normal time, if the inauguration had already happened and President Chavez were inaugurated and were able to come and then was incapacitated, his vice president would be the one to take over in the interim period until elections.
So,
I'm
just thinking forward then. Could you have an election then that would have Cabello running against Maduro and also Enrique Capriles, the fellow who lost the last election, who's the leader of the opposition?
Yes, you could have as many candidates as wanted to run. That's entirely possible, that there would be multiple opposition candidates and multiple candidates from the governing party. The reason why I think that's unlikely is that, and President Chavez certainly took the effort to make that unlikely for his own party by endorsing one candidate. So unless there was a break from that and sort of an open power struggle, I wouldn't expect there to be more than one candidate for the governing party. The opposition would have to decide, would they run a united candidate or would there be multiple people who, you know, wanted to try their candidacy? And that's hard. That, I think, will depend on the timing. If we're talking about a very snap election within 30 days, then very soon it'll be difficult for the opposition to probably choose another unity candidate beyond the one that they chose last year, who was Capriles, who you mentioned. If there's more time to prepare, if elections look like they'll be delayed sometime, then perhaps there would be time to either choose another opposition candidate or for multiple people to prepare their own campaign.
Well, just in closing, though, it would seem that if Chavez is to die soon, as some expect, the opposition wouldn't have a prayer. I mean, he got pretty badly trounced in October, Capriles, and I imagine the sympathy vote will be huge.
I think the sympathy vote would be huge. And then we also had the elections in December for governor when the governing party won 20 out of 23 state governors. So that was not a good showing for the opposition. And so if this, you know, happens soon and President Chavez, you know, if he were to die soon and elections called soon, I think there would be a huge sympathy vote. If he recovers, that is not able to come back to govern for very long, or if there's some scenario where it gets stretched out longer and there's an interim government, that scenario actually is declaring a temporary absence, which could go up to 6 months. Then the situation might be different for the opposition.
Well, Jennifer McCoy, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Again, I've been speaking with Jennifer McCoy, who's the director of the Carter Center's America's Program and a political science professor at Georgia State University. Previously, she directed the Carter Center's Project on Mediation and Monitoring in Venezuela from 2002 to 2004 and has directed election monitoring projects for the Carter Center in Nicaragua, Panama, Mexico, Venezuela, Jamaica, and Peru. And she is the author of, most recently, The Unraveling of Representative Democracy in Venezuela. This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon. This program is available for podcasting at ianmasters.com. You can also contact me, and the conversation continues at facebook.com/ianmastersmedia. And I'll be back again tomorrow at 5 p.m. with another Background Briefing. Bye for now.